This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. Earlier this week, the Department of Veterans Affairs completed an initial audit of wait times at VA facilities around the nation, and it flagged the Atlanta VA Medical Center, along with facilities in Smyrna, Dublin, and Savannah, for further review. Georgia Republican Senator Johnny Isakson is a member of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. We spoke with him about a week and a half ago, just before Eric Shinseki resigned as Veterans Affairs Secretary. Senator Isakson joins us again from Washington. Senator, welcome back.
Thanks. Good to be with you, Dennis.
Do you know why the Atlanta VA in particular was flagged for further review?
Well, I think all of the clinics around the country and hospitals around the country that had not numbers that were high, which is almost every clinic and every hospital, were flagged for further review. And I think it's only appropriate to make sure that if the books were being cooked, particularly if they were being cooked so somebody could compensate themselves in bonuses, we need to get to the bottom of that and see to it it's stopped.
Well, you've gotten to my next question, which is, in addition to the long wait times, which might by themselves be a cause for further review, there were allegations that, as you put it, the books were cooked, false scheduling entries were made, or records were tampered with. But the reports we've read don't specify whether there is evidence of that at the VA facilities here. Have you seen anything more specific than that?
I have not seen anything specific as it relates to Atlanta. I did uncover the August 2010 memo, which I questioned Secretary Shinseki and Senior Manager Petzl when we had the hearing about, because the VA had identified 4 years ago a scheme in some of the VA hospitals where they were cooking the books in order to get bonuses for their employees, and put out a memo 4 years ago to try and put a stop to it. That was overlooked or mishandled or, in fact, didn't take place, which is one of the reasons I think the IG believes, and I believe, that the problems at the VA are systemic, they're cultural, and they've got to be rooted out and stopped.
The IG is the Inspector General.
Right.
Have you heard from people, either patients or staffers at the Atlanta VA, who can shed any light on whether there was falsification of records?
I have had no one make that allegation to me, either a patient or somebody who was a whistleblower or anything of that nature.
So the further review, you would think, would look into not only the wait times, but whether or not there was falsification of records?
Absolutely.
Now, the VA here told us after their face-to-face audit a week or two ago that no scheduling irregularities were found. Of course, it didn't say what scheduling irregularities might be. Does the release of this new audit make you think that they weren't telling the truth?
No. I have met on a every six-week basis or every two-month basis with Ms. Wiggins, who's the new director that was hired last May. She's been very forthcoming in terms of rooting out problems as they existed at the Atlanta VA. I have no reason to have any suspicion that they're withholding anything from me, but I still think the audit should take place to be sure.
Do you still want the Attorney General involved, or
yes,
is the process that's been set up enough?
No, I just signed a letter before I made this call, joining Senator Bozeman from Arkansas to call on Eric Holder to investigate the potential for wrongdoing in terms of felonious activities in the management of the VA.
Did you specify how you wanted it done, or would you leave that up to the Attorney General?
That's his job. How he does it is up to him. To do it is up to us to force him to do it, I think. I don't think he's going to do it on his own volition.
Now, the VA says it's already taking corrective action. It's gotten rid of that 14-day wait time goal. It's ended some of the performance bonuses, among other things. It also says it's accelerated care for those who have waited 30 days or longer. Do you think, given the situation that we have, that is even attainable?
Sloan Gibson is a good man. Sloan Gibson is the acting director. He's taken the type of actions necessary to try and right the wrongs that have been done to veterans who were forced to wait a long time. But the proof is in the pudding. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. The VA has not proven itself to be very trustworthy in terms of some of the things it said under previous leadership. So I think seeing is believing, but trusting and verifying is going to be critical.
Do you have any idea, especially given all the hearings that have been held both by your committee and the one over in the House, as to how that 30-day or longer wait can be cut down?
Well, we are doing something in the Senate, and the House is going to join us this week that's going to be of a measurable difference to our veterans, and it's called Veterans Choice. What it basically says is if you live more than 40 miles from a veterans hospital or veterans clinic, or if you cannot get an appointment within 20 days for most circumstances, then you have a card where you can go to the private sector to either a TRICARE or a Medicare provider and get service in the private sector. That will accelerate the ability for veterans to get help. It'll give the relieve a lot of pressure for the VA physicians themselves, and it will bring about the most important thing that drives quality and ease, and that's competition. The more competition the VA has, the better they will perform.
And that may work for a great many conditions, but aren't there some injuries and conditions that veterans have where they really can't get treatment anywhere else? The private sector simply doesn't encounter them very often, can't deal with them very well, and it's really not cost-effective for them.
Well, that's certainly true in terms of combat injuries. As you may know, the Veterans Optical and Eye Clinic at the VA Hospital in Atlanta is probably the finest in the world. They bring veterans from around the country for their eye services, for their prosthesis and things of that nature. So, yes, there are certain types of injuries where the Veterans Administration medical facilities are the world-renowned experts, but that's not most. That's a few.
We touched on this last time, but is the private sector, do you think, equipped to handle the demand that might ensue with veterans, particularly in some of our trauma centers here in Georgia, with veterans coming over from the VA?
Well, now, a trauma center, Dennis, is not going to be a planned visit. That's going to be an emergency visit, and that would probably take place at the VA hospital, although it would also take place at the hospital closest to the person that's injured, whether it be a private hospital or a VA hospital. So emergency services would not be a very good judge. Would be a very good judge would be what's going to be available to the veteran for a normal primary care or specialized care call where they have not been able to get timely appointments at the VA and could get them now because they can go to the private sector. That's where it'll make a big difference.
Do you have a timeline in mind for when you want to see results from the further review and performance benchmarks from the VA?
Well, first of all, the clarion call has been sounded. The VA employees and the 340,000 people in Veterans Medical Services understand that the Congress is looking. They understand that we're going to be accelerating our investigation. The pressure is on, as it should be. We didn't get here overnight. We're not going to get out of this problem overnight. This is a long-term proposition. I think this is going to be a major issue throughout the campaigns this year leading up to November, and obviously a major issue for us on the Veterans Committee next year to follow through and see to it the VA corrects its errors.
The last time we spoke, you pointed out that during the government shutdown battle 2 or 3 years ago, the VA was forward funded by Congress for 2 years to make sure that even if there was a government shutdown, at least the money would be going to the VA. And
that's
this
correct.
Past March, you said there was another 2-year forward funding. But given the burdens that the VA faces and that were pointed out in the audit and that VA folks have said were part of the culture that helped create some of the problems, was even that enough funding?
We have not had an occasion that I'm aware of where a VA executive or a VA health system manager has come to us and used an excuse of lack of funding as a reason why they could not do something. Obviously, you can always use more money. Everybody can think of a way to spend it. But the Veterans Administration has been well-funded. VA health services in particular have been well-funded by the Congress. The activities that cause the crisis in these appointments, we're using a cooked books type of formula to show a department is having a better performance record than it actually had in order for the executive to qualify for a pay raise. And that's just plain wrong. That has nothing to do with funding. It has everything to do with character.
And certainly some of the critics have not tried to imply that there's any excuse here. They also say that, at least according to PolitiFact, the funding has been about $2 billion a year less than President Obama requested, although he did eventually sign off on it as well.
Well, requests and actual appropriations are almost always two different things, sometimes higher, sometimes lower.
So should the Congress have allocated more over the years?
I think the Congress's appropriations process and the VA process in particular has been more than adequate. I think its timeliness for a 2-year forward funding has been good. I don't know of a specific issue where someone has not received services because of funding. Sure, we'd like to bill more, and one of the things we are doing, by the way, in this new bill that's being passed, is adding 26 outpatient clinics around the country to help relieve pressure. One of those is going to be in Cobb County to relieve the pressure in the metropolitan Atlanta area. So we are doing those things appropriations-wise that are necessary in terms of facilities and physicians to reduce the pressure.
Georgia Republican Senator Johnny Isakson, a member of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. Senator Isakson, thanks so much for checking back with us. We appreciate it.
Best to you, Dennis. Thank you.